Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Buckle your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. Pull it tight, because Jack Mitchell's in the building. Jack Mitchell's an old friend of ours. He's the CEO of Mitchell's Richards, which is two of the most successful clothing stores in the world, on the planet, maybe the universe. But you know him more recently as the guy who wrote the book that's taking the world by storm. Hug Your Customers, the proven way to personalize sales and achieve astounding results. He's our good friend, now an incredible bestseller in Singapore, ladies and gentlemen. The author of Hug Your Customers, Jack Mitchell, welcome back to the show.
Jim, I'm thrilled to be here again. It's just wonderful.
It's a pleasure to have you back, and I'll tell you what. You were my hero before, but I am so proud of you. You were talking to me about this book before it was a book.
Right.
And I made you promise to launch it on this show, which you did. And I'm not going to take any more credit, because you've been working hard on this.
Wonderful people have helped. I mean, you got the hugging culture from the beginning. That's what you've been doing to all your friends and your listeners throughout the country. And it's about that simple personalization of the message of whatever you're selling or whatever you're doing. It's putting the personalization that those little things that I call hugs in my book. It makes all the difference in the world in what we do in life and, of course, in business. That's how we've built our family business here in Connecticut. And I'm finding, as you say, that through the book and people reading the book, whether it be here or Singapore or throughout the country and now the world, people are emailing me and saying, thanks for sharing about the book. We've forgotten to be nice to people. We've forgotten how important it is to pause in this hectic, world and just dig in and know what people like in terms of their personal life and their families and so forth. When you touch people that way, then the business sort of flows in a very natural way. So I'm having a lot of fun with it.
It's really fun and exciting for me to see how you've taken this book from and how the book has taken the world by storm and how you've taken it and really made it so successful. It's becoming more and more so all over the world and now is a bestseller in Singapore. I think that's great. And folks, remember, I'm telling you, 2 years ago, Jack was he still does own a clothing store. I think that's right. Jack, could you measure a suit today, Jack?
Absolutely. I have my tape on, around my neck every Saturday at Richards or Mitchell's, and during the busy times, I'm obviously headed to the store in a few minutes to try to continue to motivate and sell clothing and meet and greet customers.
How has it helped your clothing business? Have you seen a difference in sales because of your book?
I think so. I hope that obviously one of the main purposes of doing the book was to enhance the image and the brand, if you will, of Mitchell's and Richards in our area. And what's happened, of course, is it spread. The image itself has spread, and the brand has spread because of my book, throughout the country. And it's helped. I think first for our customers and clients here in Connecticut and the metropolitan New York area, it's sort of again reinforced the fact that they are shopping in a store that really does care about them. And then, of course, the hidden part, which I knew was going to happen, which has been wonderful. Because of the book, we're sort of under a microscope, our associates, so they have to be on their toes and play their best game every day because people are saying, well, you told me you were going to call me back on a special order, or
right.
You said you were going to add to the sale, or you said you were going to come over and clean my closet, or you were going to, call me when the new Armani or the new Laura Piana outfits come in. So we have to, and because we say we're going to do it, we have to do it. And I'm not saying we do it perfectly all the time, for sure, but when it's out there in print and people are kidding us about it, people are coming in and they're hugging our customers literally. As you know, Jim, a hug, sometimes people say, well, what's this hug is all about? So I'm not a hugging person, but hug can be, as simple as a smile and and knowing whether you like the Pepsi or Coke or whether it's James or Jim or John or Jack, knowing nicknames and anniversary dates and birthdays, that's the kind of thing that we love to do. And people now, of course, are sharing all that information very openly. They always did, but now they know, of course, even through my book, we would never sell or share any of this data or information.
Mm-hmm. But you know, Jack, somebody told me a long time ago, a human being needs 5 hugs a day just for maintenance. That's not even to thrive. And, of course, what you've done is you've reminded people that a hug doesn't have to be a physical embrace. It could be a lot of different things. It's anything that it could be anything that makes people that makes a little warm feeling go off in people where they feel like they've come home, like the Cheers story, the where everybody knows your name. That's the difference. And I want to talk about that, because I mentioned this earlier in the week, folks, if you remember, when I was talking about intellectual property, about how you make the commodity that you sell special. And that's what Jack does. He helps people to understand that. We're going to talk about that right after these messages. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us.
So keep it up. Quench my desire.
We're back. 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Jack Mitchell's here, too. And before we go any further, I'd like to mention a couple of things. Jack, today is yours and Linda's 43rd wedding anniversary, and I just want to say happy anniversary.
Thank you, Jim.
Congratulations on 43 great years together, and you tell her, you give her my best, and give her a hug for me and tell her I said happy anniversary.
I'll definitely do that.
And I want to say one other thing, folks. Ed Mitchell is the patriarch of Mitchell Richards. He's Jack's dad, and he passed away 3 days after you were on the show the last time on January the 31st. And I know you had a great celebration, and I just want you to know that I want to dedicate the show today to the memory of your dad.
Thank you, Jim. That's very, very kind of you, and I know he appreciates that, and he's still with us for sure. He lived an unbelievable life, almost to 99. And
wow.
As I shared with you, you know, he even in his final days, he was there, and his great grandchildren were with him, and it was really a blessing and a celebration. And he lived just a great life. And
well, I know he was so.
Of course, you know, Father's Day is coming up this Sunday, and mm-hmm. it'll be the first one without him. And every time we do things in the store that he initiated or he was part of, and you know, we think of him. But it's a really great memories, and so. But I appreciate your.
What did he teach you about hugging customers?
Oh my goodness, he set the standards as an early age. He just said, you know, you have to treat customers as if they were guests in your home and welcome them into the store that way. And again, knowing their first names and you make people feel comfortable and nice, and just again, it's very simple. Be nice to them on a personal level, and then follow up and follow through like you would again with a friend. And he was a world-class hugger.
Earlier in the week, I said this. It's not that big a deal. It's not that hard to get people to come in your store. The challenge is to get them to come back.
That's it.
And Ed knew about that, didn't he?
Of course. It's always about coming back. It's always about, you know, trying to sell them or guide them into an area that's best for them. And how do you know what's best for them, or the proper suit or the proper shirt or the proper blouse for a woman, unless you understand what they're going to be using it for, what they're, you know, whether they can afford a certain collection or not, whether they're, you know, whether they really like fashion or whether they're, I mean, you have to know things about them and what they're using it for. Do they work mm-hmm. for IBM, you know, in the back room and, you know, doing new programming, or are they outselling computers mm-hmm. in the marketplace? I mean, people dress differently, so you have to know, you have to dig it and find that out. And then where do they go on vacations? Do they go to Hawaii? Do they go to, you know, Mississippi? Do they go to Alaska? Well, you have to figure that out, and you obviously the clothes are different, so you have to understand that.
Right.
So you get to know, and then they say, "Wow, you know, these people really care about me," and they come back because they care. I mean, don't we all want to do business with people, as Dad always said, that know you and like you? You know, you can. Of course, you have to have a great product, but that's secondary to the personalization of the customer relationship. And again, I keep saying that's what's really has resonated with so many people across the country, that it's about the personalization of the customer relationship.
I mean, the book is called... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So so many books these days written on CRM, customer relationship management, but it's the P before the C with passion. So I like to put two P's, personalization and passion regarding customers. It's what we're all about, and people are asking me to talk about that and explain. I mean, it's just so simple.
Mm-hmm. The book, folks, is called Hug Your Customers by Jack Mitchell. Tell us where it's available, Jack.
It's available hopefully at all your bookstores throughout the country. I always like to mention that because I think the heart of America still is the local bookstores. But, of course, it can be purchased on Amazon.com or Borders or Barnes & Noble.
What about your own website? You got a
website.
Website
you can go to, cool, hugyourcustomers.com. I'd love to hear from all your listeners, Jim. I certainly will do my best to answer any emails right away. You can email me with any ideas or people emailing me with hugging stories. I love it. Some companies are now having, they're asking their associates to bring back hugging stories.
Yeah.
And of course they do. And when you find the simplest way to determine what a hug is, that somebody does something extra special for a customer or a friend or a vendor, and they come back and they say, "Wow, it worked. They were nice to me, and I got the order." Or they made a difference in the person, and then they're emailing me and saying, "Jack, here's another hugging story for you," and it's great.
Well, absolutely, and I'll tell you, it's so important that we understand, Jack. And I said this earlier that pretty much everything that you and I sell is a commodity. I mean, you sell clothes, and nothing could be more of a commodity than clothes are. The clothes you buy are nice clothes, Jack, but people can get those clothes other places. The difference is in how you deliver it and how you maintain that relationship. That's the only difference between your business and somebody else's business.
Exactly. And people ask me, well, does all this hugging work? I mean, is it economically sound? And as you know, Jim, I have a whole section of my book called The Formula, and I'm proud to say that we're profitable. And we have just five simple ingredients for this particular formula. First, we do need to drive the top line. We do need to drive sales.
Right.
But again, we do it.
Nothing happens till somebody makes a sale.
Absolutely, but it's if you have a hugging culture, again, you dig in and your mindset is your return on assets. What's your most important asset? Your most important asset, ROA are your people. So you have to hug the huggers. If you hug the huggers and then they hug the customers, you're always driving the top line. And everybody, our business is totally company-wide customer focused. When that happens and you constantly drive the top line, you constantly know the score, you know what business, how much business you did last year. We actually track our businesses by the hour. We know every single sale to every single customer. We really think selling.
Product. Hold on to that thought, Jack. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want Jack to talk a little bit more about the economics of a hugging culture. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back with Jack Mitchell, the author of Hug Your Customers. She's got it.
Sitting in the morning sun.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with us today. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. We're visiting with our good friend Jack Mitchell. He's the author of Hug Your Customers. And now we're talking about the economics of the hugging that Jack talks about doing. Jack, it's, you can't hug customers if you can't stay in business, can you?
Exactly. So our sort of, paradigm is if we drive the top line, for sure, and that means everybody is focusing on our customers, hugging them, and selling to them what they need and digging in and personalizing the relationship. That's what the whole book's about. We've talked about that. So you drive the top line, so everybody's selling. Everybody thinks of themselves as a seller, the buyers, the fitters, the shippers, everybody, and including the sales associates, of course. And then the next part of Jim, of course, is trying to really focus on industry-leading margins. I mean, if you think of it just simply, if you have a hugging culture, people like to come in early for their clothing. They have a relationship. We feel comfortable calling you up or calling Bob Dylan Schneider, who's one of the top public relations firms in the country, and Bob and Jan Shoppers. You call them up early, and they come in. So those are done at regular price. 70% of our merchandise, our clothing at the upper end, is at regular price, and that's like many, many percentage points higher. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to know that if you sell at regular price, it's a lot more. Your barn is a lot better than on sale. And then in the third one, we don't spend. We do look at expenses, of course. Again, the mind says we don't spend a dime unless it touches the customer.
I like that. I like the way you say that.
You know, you can eliminate just so much if your focus is on customers. And yes, you can invest in customers by, let's say, sending them flowers on their birthday or anniversary dates or whatever, but you don't do it just willy-nilly because somebody comes in and has a good idea and you start advertising here, there, and,
If it doesn't help the customer, you don't spend money for it, do you?
Absolutely. Don't spend a dime for it. But, of course, when you invest in your people, so if you let's
training,
say the
training, you know, training touches customers.
You're right.
Your computers, your technology touches customers, even though it's technology, and some people think that's cold. The truth is that's one of the ways you hug your customers, isn't it?
Absolutely. So we invest in technology to help our sales associates and our associates know more about their customers. And we can, since we are saving by not spending anything that touches customers and margins are better, we can invest in our people that are the hug. I'd rather pay our sales associates, who are, if you think about it, they're the marketing department.
Right.
We don't have to spend. We do spend money in newspapers and magazines, but very little because, unless our vendors help us, of course, we love the cooperation
the
with vendors.
Yeah.
Because we have the best mailing list in our area of upper-end customers, so they want to invest in us, so fine. We'll be happy to market their product. But the marketing department are our sales associates who call up our customers, and I'd rather give it, not give them. They earn every nickel, and I'm happy to pay them more money when they sell more money and when their performance is there. And then the last two parts quickly are we don't carry anything over from season to season. I'm proud to say, and I'm not trying to promote Filene's Basement, but we actually sell all of our merchandise at the end of the season to Filene's Basement. So
we don't carry anything over. Yeah.
And while it's, you know, obviously we lose money on that particular sale because they turn around and sell it to their customers, our customers know, our sales associates know that every single piece of merchandise is fresh, new, and fashionable every season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge advantage for us, where other stores, even some of the great stores in this country, carry over a significant amount.
Right.
And the last one, which is debatable.
This is the big one. This is what I call the stealth benefit of being a small business owner. Go ahead.
Is the real estate. We actually own our own real estate. We only have two stores, but they are a good size.
Yeah.
And we own our real estate. I mean, we're not beholden to a big landlord who can change the rents and this and that. And all of a sudden, we woke up literally, Jim, 2 weeks ago, and we woke up to the fact that our real estate has significantly increased in value, and we just refinanced, and it's just unbelievable.
It's the stealth benefit.
It's still low.
It's the stealth benefit of being a small business owner, Jack.
To save some money, and it from an economic point of view, it positions us for unbelievable opportunities for growth in the future. And we sort of just forgot about it. We were just paying ourselves the rent, you know.
That is so typical of a small business that you do that. And I've seen that happen many times. I've seen people go 25 years without realizing what was happening to the real estate that they owned.
Right.
It's no question about it. I've got to wrap it up because we're running out of time. I want you to give us the website for the book one more time.
It's hugyourcustomers.com.
Folks, that whole series on the formula that Jack just talked to you about, that's a multi-chapter series, and I encourage you to check it out when you find Jack's book. Thank you, Jack, for being here. Congratulations on the book. I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Happy anniversary. And tell Linda happy anniversary. See you later.
Thank you so much.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And don't forget, next 2 days, I'm broadcasting from our nation's capital. Looking forward to talking to you there. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.